Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From the TEDx Boston Conference live at Faneuil Hall, this is a special edition of Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. For the past hour or so, Meghna and I have been in the Great Hall listening to talks from some of the brightest minds in Boston. The theme of this year's TEDx Boston is Revolutionary Ideas Revisited. And what better place to do that than here at Faneuil Hall, where America's founders first expressed so many of their revolutionary ideas.
But as you can probably hear right now, we are not inside the Great Hall. We're actually outside in the WBUR tent between Faneuil Hall and Quincy Market. So if you're in the neighborhood, come on over and visit.
Really, it's a cool gray day, but nestled here between Faneuil Hall and Quincy Market, there are shoppers, tourists, and a whole bunch of folks who've been listening to all these great speakers.
For the next hour, we're going to go and listen to some of the more, we are going to speak to some of the speakers you've heard in this city's biggest, they are this city's biggest thinkers. They spoke at TEDx earlier today. We're going to dive deeper into their ideas.
And we'll begin with Reggie Gibson, whose TED Talk was not so much a talk at all, but a powerful poem that just a few minutes ago brought everyone in the Great Hall to their feet. It was something to see and to hear. It's called Cry Havoc, to Thine Own Self Be Hip, a response to Hamlet's existential question for men who have considered suicide. Here's an excerpt.
So now is the winter of your discontent, when your cheeks sting and sing an existential lament, and what you really need is a brotherly back pat, but all this world wants to give you a hard slap. Yes, the milk of human kindness is curdled and funky now that your throat is close to the noose, and nobody seems to love you but your mama, and well, she could be lying to you, too. I can dig it.
That's an excerpt from Cry Havoc, to Thine Own Self Be Hip from Reggie Gibson. He's a poet, teacher, and a former National Poetry Slam champion, and he joins us now. Reggie, welcome to radio. Welcome to the program. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
I want to say congratulations, because I can't overstate the effect that you just had on that crowd in there. You could hear a pin drop while you were talking, and when you were done, people jumped to their feet. So you have hit a nerve. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to, before performing that poem, Cry Havoc, you mentioned on stage that it was written for your son. And
yes.
I want you to say a little bit more about that. What did your son tell you that inspired you to write this?
Well, my oldest son, he came home some years ago, and he did something that he was embarrassed about at school. He, as I said, he did not conduct himself the way his mother and I had taught him. And he said, I just feel as if I want to kill myself. And as I was saying, I understand that as a man, that a young boy, he did not understand what it means to consign himself to oblivion. But as a father, it was difficult to hear. And it took me back to a place when I was in my teenage years, in a very dark space. And then later on, in my 20s, when I was in a dark space. And I just felt the world would be somewhat better if there was a Reggie-sized hole in it, if I just stepped through it and let it close in behind me. And I'm not the first person to feel that way. I'm not the last person to feel that way, the only person to feel that way. But I've always been able to find something to keep me going through literature, most especially Shakespeare.
Yeah, you refer to it as the good book.
The good book.
You took your son to the good book, which you got a laugh in there when you said, and of course, that's the complete works of William Shakespeare.
Indeed.
Why Shakespeare?
Well, Shakespeare, as anyone who studies him, and most people who can speak about him more than I can, of course, deals with so many of the issues that confront us all existentially. Mm. And I went there because when we think about life as being tragic, which is why many of us decide that we would like to step out of it, very few people have brought us tragedy and the understanding of it in quite the way that William Shakespeare has. I used 18 separate references to Shakespeare in my poem, and there are 6 from Hamlet, 4 from Macbeth, 4 from Julius Caesar, tragedy, history, whatever, 1 from The Tempest, 1 from Cymbeline, 1 from Richard III and Midsummer Night's Dream, and of course then there's 1 from B.B. King.
Probably another great Shakespeare.
Yeah, Shakespeare was a great blues poet. You know, a lot of people don't see him that way.
But speaking of that, so you have these wonderful references to Shakespeare, and one can hear them, but your language obviously is very, very much updated.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I want to just read something, part of your poem. Look your demon dead in its eye, quicken your belly fire, and through blood-stained teeth cry havoc, and let slip the dogs of ass-kick. Put your shoulder to the rock and grunt.
Right.
What strikes me about this poem is the tone. It's not necessarily comforting, give your son a hug sort of a poem. It's a call to action. It's
right.
It's dust right. yourself off. Get back up and push that rock uphill.
Right, absolutely. It came out of, you know, of course, the understanding of Sisyphus and the way Sisyphus, what Sisyphus could do to fight the gods for laying this on him. What he could do to fight back was to enjoy, to find some measure of enjoyment, even in this bitter pill he had to swallow. And I wanted my son to realize, too, that we've all had to swallow that bitter pill, and life will get that way. The thing I understand about me as the person I am and as a man is that when I'm feeling in a weakened position, I don't want other people to see me that way. I want other people to see me as a person of strength, and that I have a strength, and that I can use that strength to help lift myself up, and that someone's got my back.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's very important when we speak to men many times that we do that. One poet I know who I went to school with, he said, when you look at a man's pain, you never look at it directly. Never look at it directly. And that thing that says, I got your back, brother, let's do this, we can work this out, you've got what it takes to get out of this, steal your spine, grab my hand, we will walk forward together, I got you.
Reggie, I want to mention that in addition to being a poet, you're also a teacher. So what is it about poetry that makes it such a powerful teaching tool, especially for young people? Because I think in this day and age, sometimes poetry gets short shrift that it doesn't deserve.
I think it does. I think it does. Well, our species is the language species, right? So we love language. It's just that so much language that has been coming at us for the last 50 to 60 years has been designed to get us to buy something. Designed to get us to spend money in order to get something. But what poetry is it helps you to buy into language so that it gives you something back. Mm-hmm. I think there's the musicality also of speech that poetry represents, and also it ennobles us. It is one of our highest dialogues with ourselves throughout history and time, and I think that's one of the reasons it pulls to people so much,
well,
especially
Reggie,
young people.
Let me just go out with one more clip from the end of your poem, Cry Havoc. Let's just listen for a minute.
For at times we are the masters of our own fates, though we think we're under heaven's spell. But both fault and deliverance are not in the stars, dear brother, but deep in ourselves. Foolish mortal, be the stuff of your own dreams, though you quake and shake with fears and regrets. Yes, this world just might be a stage, player, but it ain't your exit.
It ain't your exit
yes.
yet. Great words from the Boston-based poet Reggie Gibson here at TEDx Boston. Reggie, thank you so much for
joining
us.
Thank you both. Thank you both for having me.
One of many great moments today, Reggie Gibson again. So listeners, stick with us because coming up, how's this for a revolutionary idea? Some of the world's best design might come out of classrooms full of teenagers. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks, live from TEDx Boston at Faneuil Hall. This is Radio Boston.